This is my testimony of Christ. I was born in a little cottage on the beach in Maine before we moved to Boulder, Colorado, where I grew up in an American Buddhist household. I had never been to a church or touched a Bible until God revealed himself to me at a most unexpected time in my life. I had spent my life striving to be a world changer, leaving my hometown after studying journalism at university to start my writing career. I was a woman rising in all things worldly women covet, adopting New York City as my home, working at the top beauty magazine in the world, and with Paris and the south of France as my vacation spots. A few years into my magazine career, I realized I was trapped in a materialistic love affair with the world, and in an effort to choose a better path and to focus on helping people more, I jumped off the corporate ladder to create my own business. I completed nutrition school and began counseling women in health and lifestyle. At this time, I also began opening myself to spiritual practices and was soon led deep into a false spiritual path, looking within myself, completely deceived and believing I had found God. It was 8 years ago when I started thousands of hours of meditation and yoga. The sudden and unexpected false spiritual awakening that I experienced through these practices took me into writing and teaching my own spiritual philosophy for many years. The year God saved me, I was a proud feminist and spiritual activist, speaking with publishers about my first book with a feminine twist to the hero's journey. I had the love and admiration of the world, and the lowercase God of this world had my back. As I was given a rising voice and influence in the increasingly popular spirituality of the modern age that preaches love without Jesus Christ. But God stopped me in my tracks, shining the light of Christ in my heart, regenerating me and revealing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, bringing me to faith and repentance, and my worldview was supernaturally changed to a biblical worldview. I was seeking truth my whole life, and I never expected the Lord Jesus Christ to be the answer. I was not looking for Jesus. I never knew any real Christianity. All I had known Christianity to be was some worldly, Western, or false religious expression of it that was nothing close to the real thing. I had no grasp of anything real. I was seeking truth, but I believed truth was relative, not absolute. I was not seeking Jesus when God began drawing me to himself. I was a rebel. I wanted to be the God and ruler of my own life. When I came into communion with the true living God for the first time in my life, I didn't achieve a level of holiness, nor did I do anything to make God love me or accept me. It was not a relationship I could earn or work for. He saved me when I was dead in sin and trespasses, lost in spiritual pride, right there in my Brooklyn apartment. I didn't ask Jesus into my heart. He gave me a new heart. After going deep down a spiritual path I never asked for, a series of events transpired that brought me to the belief that there were obviously spiritual forces of evil, which then brought me to believe in the being of God. Some things were being shown to me before my faith in Christ when God was drawing me and working his grace in me. When God is working in you, at some point you come to a place of utter despair. The first thing God does is bring a sinner to the end of himself or herself. He brings down the proud heart and strips us of everything. He convinces us of our sin. He always empties before he fills. He always brings darkness before he brings life. The Holy Ghost convinces us we are dead spiritually before making us alive in Christ. By God's grace, we see we are dead in sin and trespasses, that we can't save ourselves. We need the Savior. Blessed are those who are brought to know they are nothing without Christ. I was completely ignorant to the truth in Scripture. I never heard the gospel. I had no knowledge of basic biblical truths. So in one way, it was a slow drawing me to himself, and in other ways, it felt radical and fast as everything began to change within me and in my life. I was sitting in my apartment years after my false spiritual awakening. What I later discovered was a counterfeit born-again experience, having attained the enlightenment that was so coveted and sought after by spiritual seekers. Something felt terribly wrong. I felt empty, stagnant, and oppressed. This was not the promise fulfilled, and I knew that the problem was not that I wasn't doing the spiritual practices right or that I needed to learn more from the latest guru, as multitudes believe, keeping them on this path of deception. So doing more self-work, turning to the endless false answers the world was offering, and staying on this exhausting path with self as savior was not the answer. I was beginning to realize I had been deceived. I had reached the greatest heights of so-called enlightenment and spiritual achievement, and just like my worldly material achievements, it meant nothing in the end. It was a false promise of salvation. What was supposed to be perfect love and pure light was not that at all. It was darkness and bondage. I could see that this so-called higher consciousness that I had attained was just a bigger cage I walked into, out of my worldly materialistic cage I had been trapped in before. I had moved from darkness to false light. I realized the whole world lives in a false dualistic system with a dark side and a light side represented through the yin-yang symbol. The darkness presents itself as darkness, and on the other side, it presents itself as the light, but it's a false light. Everyone knows Star Wars and its famous words, "The Force is with you." It's a pantheistic model with a battle of good and evil, light and dark, but both sides are dark, since there's no Christ in this system, and the whole world loves it and worships it. The one true light is Christ. Everything outside of Christ is darkness and false light. We don't need the Force. We need God, who is not an impersonal force or field of energy, but a person. Three persons in one: God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. After discovering the truth of evil and the false light, I began to understand God was not in this false system that the world offers. Everyone is waiting for a new age where the dark evils will be exposed for what they are and the light will come in justice and unity and prosperity and peace and save the day. Except this light is false because it's in a man or a system, a false savior, a false Christ. But the true Christ, the true light of the world, will come in the end and will divide the sheep from the goats, and he will destroy the earth and make a new earth and a new heaven. I wasn't converted yet. I would need a new heart and a new spirit given to me by God. But as everything was unraveling for me, on July 15, 2016, I prayed out loud for the first time to God, whom I never knew, but who always knew me. Though I didn't yet know the meaning and weight of what I was praying, he was drawing me to himself, and I asked, "Dear God, if you're the one true light and Jesus is your son, show me that you are real." Within 5 minutes and over the next hour, I saw the words "I am" in three different places. One in something I read online, one on the wall art of a school, and one on a lunch menu at the cafe near my Brooklyn apartment. I hadn't realized yet that God's name is I am, because I had never read a Bible. On that same day, I prayed. God started breaking me. I unexpectedly and providentially came to some information online about the roots of my belief system. I realized I was in the biggest cult of modern culture, called the New Age movement, rooted in witchcraft and mysticism, all in the name of self-love. No longer on the fringe of society, but the popular message of our day, a message that you can be your own God, save the world, and love others better when you focus on self-love instead of God's love. God began lifting the veil on my spiritual philosophy, showing me I was only getting more arrogant, not more humble, even though I believed I was transcending my ego. I realized the wisdom I was receiving from my false spiritual awakening and my teachings were not new, nor were they unique at all, but rooted in ancient Babylonian idolatry and pantheism. My beliefs were not of God at all, but based on a God that is an impersonal force and the worship of self at the center of everything I called love. Love was my God, my idol. That same day, I renounced years of public writings and teachings. There was conviction for the first time in my life, brought in by the Spirit of God. The despair of conviction always results in faith and dependence on God. We turn from self-sufficiency and turn totally dependent on God alone. God's word began working in me and revealing Christ to me during this time. In the days and weeks after I prayed, three scriptures with "I am" came in through places online. The first scripture I saw was when Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I was being shown the Son, Jesus Christ, is the one true light, the only way to God the Father. Looking back at how God works, I can see his supernatural working in me as I read those words, and the word "life" was showing me that I did not have life, I only had death, and that I did not have light, I only had darkness, that I had been deceived. God was using his word to reveal the truth to me for the first time in my life. And then I was brought to John 8:12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Months later, when I was listening to a pastor preach the gospel, he shared Exodus 3:13 and 14. Moses said to God, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. As God began revealing more and more truth to me, peeling away the layers of deception in my own heart, in the world, and of the devil, and delivering me of everything that was keeping me in bondage, I was horrified and devastated that I had been so deceived. I could see now my entire life was vanity. Another piece of scripture God used mightily was Matthew 7:13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This hit me hard because I had arrogantly and passionately believed that I was pioneering a new path, a narrow way that leads to life and love and all things good, but in truth, I was on the wide path that leads to destruction. The Bible warns that there will be many false Christs and that Satan will appear as an angel of light and many will be deceived. As God was breaking me, the evil I used to believe was love and light was revealed to me as the evil and darkness it really was. We don't know where in sin until God reveals it. I was on a mission as a spiritual activist to be the light and save the world. I had no idea that all was in me was emptiness, darkness, depravity, and that the only true light is Jesus Christ until God revealed himself in his word. Matthew 6:22, 23 tells us, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Enlightenment is found in Christ alone, who enlightens our minds and gives us light that we may see. Everything outside of Christ is darkness. Self-realization is not the discovery of self and how wonderful and good we are inside. It's the realization that we are lost, separate from God, and desperately in need of Christ. God showed me first that the evil is real, not just an illusion or the absence of light, and that brought me to understand God is real. He showed me the biblical origin of evil. Lucifer, a glorious angel, the most powerful of all the angels created by God, in his pride rebelled against God, wanting to be God himself. He became a rebel, and the result of this was that he fell. He lost his perfection and the freedom that he formerly enjoyed. God allowed this to happen. The devil then persuaded other angelic beings to follow him and do that same thing. The angels that sinned were cast down to hell. The kingdom of Satan is against God and against men and women, those made in God's image. Now there is great warfare. In today's world, we only focus on the physical and we ignore the spiritual. But to understand the modern world, you have to go back to the Garden of Eden and back to eternity before the world was even made. And there you see the forces of good and evil, light and darkness, God and the devil. God made his creation and it is good, but the forces of evil are determined to destroy it. So the devil came and tempted the woman Eve in the garden and through the woman, Adam, thus we have the fall of man. Evil didn't start in the garden. It was already there. It was an event in the angelic and heavenly realm. Genesis 3 tells us the devil, Satan, taking the guise of a serpent, who is also known as the angel of light, looked lovely to Eve, and in his cunning nature deceived her into thinking the fruit was good, and that surely she would not die, and that she would be a god herself. Man is the object of attack because he's God's perfect creation. The result of the fall is that by man listening to the devil became a slave to the devil. Satan told Eve, "You will be like God, knowing good and evil." The devil is described in the Bible as the god of this world. Man has put himself under the power of Satan. Man is in the kingdom of darkness, under the dominion of sin. Man, since the moment of listening to Satan, is no longer free. Man has lost his freedom. He is a slave to sin, Satan, and the world. Reality is very supernatural. The Bible speaks of spiritual forces of evil. The powers that we are fighting against are real, and along with our own sinful state, being born in Adam, these spiritual forces have led the whole world into idolatry, bondage, and slavery to the darkness. We think we are so enlightened and evolved, yet the world is more deceived than ever. The spiritual forces of the ancient world are very present today, and it's the same battle. These powers are malevolent, dark, and in great rebellion against the Most High God. It was in a 9-month period between my previous spiritual beliefs and fully coming to the Bible and hearing the gospel preached. I never could have imagined God was in the Bible, but he continued his work in me. After renouncing all of my previous spiritual beliefs and not wanting to be deceived ever again, in the coming weeks, I threw out all of my idols, bags of books and crystals and various spiritual things I had accumulated over my lifetime. I was afraid of praying, not wanting to pray to the wrong being, and I avoided anything spiritual, and instead pursued things in the physical world, spending hours in nature every day and going into fitness training. But once again, none of these pursuits could save me. I couldn't run from God forever, and he was pursuing me, and God cannot fail. Those who the Father has given to Christ are called with an effectual calling. They shall come. However stubbornly they may set themselves against God's call, yet they shall be brought out of darkness into God's marvelous light. It was more of a realizing I was Christian than a decision to be Christian. Soon I was hungering and thirsting for God's word. I needed a Bible. I'll never forget those first moments reading my Bible. One of the most precious moments, reading Genesis for the first time, learning of how God created the world, and then reading the fall and just crying, feeling the weight of that moment in Genesis 3. And I can't explain the awe and surprise upon finding all of the answers there in the Bible to questions I had asked my entire life. God has revealed himself to us through his written word in the Holy Bible, and in the flesh through his Son, Jesus Christ. We don't always know the moment we are regenerated, but it causes a person to stop repressing the truth. And the Bible tells us, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." John 3:8. The gospel comes with power, and we see our need for the Savior. We repent of our sins and put our faith in Christ. This is what an awakened, quickened, regenerated soul will do. God's word tells us of a supernatural experience of conversion, one in which our thoughts, affections, and our entire will changes, sometimes suddenly, unexpectedly, and it's not based on any merit of our own. I had always thought a born-again Christian was some overly religious person who just needed a crutch in life. Or maybe if you grew up in a church, you would think this is someone who just makes a decision and asks Jesus into their heart. Or maybe you strayed for many years and then recommitted your life. But to be born again is none of these things. It is of God, the supernatural power and working of God the Holy Spirit in us. When I was first a believer, I kept saying Christianity is so supernatural. Only the power of God can give us spiritual eyes to see. And our faith is supernatural, having light to understand the scriptures. God's love is supernatural. I believed before I knew I believed. God turned me fully to himself and away from the kingdom of darkness, stripping me of my dead works and tearing down all of my idols. He was patient and gentle and also strong. I am so grateful he wouldn't take no for an answer. I am so grateful he chose me and caused me to approach him, his mysterious influence of the Holy Spirit operating upon my soul. I wouldn't have him. I blasphemed him until one day I had to have him. He knocked down the door of my heart and sat on the throne of my life. A huge weight and burden was lifted off me, knowing that I was not the God of my life, and I was set free from the blasphemous idea that I was on a mission to save the world. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11:30. Before, I had to work hard for inner peace, but it was always a false peace. The peace I now have in Christ is unlike anything I knew before. A peace that surpasses understanding, regardless of my changing emotions and trials and sufferings in this life. We cannot save ourselves. It is the power and working of God the Holy Spirit in us, giving us faith in Christ, that is the only salvation for our souls. God broke the chains of bondage and shined the light of Christ in my heart, translating me into the kingdom of light from the kingdom of darkness. I was a child of God now, redeemed, adopted into the family of God. Now, like the Apostle Paul, who thought he had all knowledge and wisdom, but did not know God, until the scales fell from his eyes and he could see, I was to go back to the people in my life and those who followed my teachings and tell them the truth of who God is. In Acts 26:18, Jesus says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I lost everything to gain Christ. This is foolishness to the world, but it is precious in God's eyes. I was devoted to pleasing only him now, and no longer myself or the world. We can't accept the good news, the gospel, until we know the bad news first. The law is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. During my conversion, I came to the first commandment in Exodus 20, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." I realized I had sinned against the one true living God my entire life. I was the God of my own life and preaching self as God in my own vain philosophies. When I first learned of the Ten Commandments, I discovered having broken every one of the commandments in my heart, I was a sinner. The law teaches us what sin is. Every child of God is made to know that his or her person is enmity to God. In other words, all sin committed is sin against God. It's not until then that sin truly becomes sin to a sinner. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 6:23. Sin is rebellion against God and deserves eternal punishment in hell. Salvation is reconciliation to God. To save us from the condemnation of the law and the wrath of God, God himself provides a way through the Lord Jesus Christ, who sent him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will have everlasting life. John 3:16. Again, what do we need to be saved from? From the wrath of God. God is love and God is just. God's righteousness must be satisfied. He must satisfy the demands of his own justice, and he did that in Christ. We have all sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. God poured out his wrath on his Son in our place, with Christ experiencing the just punishment that we deserved. God is both just and the justifier. Even before we realized we are sinners, the law was written on our hearts, Romans 2:15. And we were born with a knowledge of what's right and wrong, good and evil. We know not to steal and we know not to murder. It's the conscience that God gives us that makes us know this. We didn't evolve beyond all the other creatures to know right from wrong. It was the way we were designed from the beginning. Man and woman, made in God's image, unlike the angels and all creatures on the earth. All of God's creation reveals its creator. This makes us, without excuse for unbelief, accountable and responsible for rejection and rebellion against our creator, the one true living God, Romans 1:20. Romans 1:25 tells us we changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. When you do something wrong, are you convicted? Do you immediately have a twinge of remorse knowing it's wrong? This is of God. For believers, we have a strong conviction of sin. Suddenly, there is a sensitivity to sin that was not there before. God is the creator of all mankind, and we were created for him. Romans 11:36. We have sinned against an infinitely holy God, and we are worthy of eternal death. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, sweetly breaks his children and brings them to the end of themselves. This is a painful experience of grief as we see our whole lives have been vanity, selfishness, chasing our own lusts and desires, calling the darkness light and the evil good. Realizing we can't save ourselves, we see how much we need our Savior, Jesus Christ. When God draws us and calls us to him by his will and power, by his grace through faith, we will all experience the crushing, the breaking, the pulling down of strongholds and vain imaginations to rebuild us anew. In our postmodern worldview, repentance is the opposite of what we're taught to believe, which is that whatever we think is true is all well and good. It's preached that we are perfect the way we are and that we're doing just fine, not that we need to repent and turn to Christ. But Jesus is saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Mark 1:15. Faith and repentance is both a command and gift from God. If we reject God, we are responsible for condemning ourselves by loving the darkness and not the light. Romans 1. Original repentance that we're granted as believers is a change of mind to believing the gospel. He turned me from darkness to light, to hate what I once loved and love what I once hated. Repentance is a discovery of the evil of sin, a mourning that we have committed it, and a resolution to forsake it. Charles Spurgeon said this: repentance is a turning away from our idolatry and turning to the true living God into a relationship with our Creator. The basic Greek meaning of repentance is to experience a changing of the mind's perceptions, dispositions, and purposes. I had a complete supernatural change of mind and heart to a new worldview. It was a total shattering of my former beliefs and identity. True repentance starts with the heart, and the fruit of it will show outwardly. The radical heart change is what is first, more important than some outward expression. A life change will happen. If we believe on Christ, we will lose our life to gain life in him, giving up everything to follow him. People may say they love Jesus, but that he is not their Savior, and they don't believe they have sin they need to repent from. Repentance is necessary and taken so seriously because God takes sin so seriously. It is required before a holy God. Christianity is different from every other religion because we look to Christ alone and his finished work on the cross. Christ accomplished all he came here to do with none of it hanging on us or our own merit. Every other religion, you have to work for your salvation. And the Bible tells us our good works are filthy rags. We are justified by faith alone. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Christ died for our sins, proved by his burial, and he rose again the third day, proved by the eyewitnesses. The work of redemption and justification is complete, having been finished on the cross. John 19:30. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. How many are on a false salvation path, running in circles, looking to the counterfeits of eternal life, searching for answers in all the wrong places? It's exhausting, and it's all emptiness, darkness, and blindness. But the Lord Jesus shows us the treasure of mercy and grace which are locked up in him and says, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I thought I was a good person doing good works in the world, Not only that, but I thought that humans were inherently good. I didn't see a need for the Savior. I wanted to be my own Savior. I thought I was seeking God, but I didn't want the true living God. I mocked Christianity. My former worldview had no logic or reason. But God's word says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3:10-12. The only man who followed God's commandments perfectly was the God-man Jesus Christ, who was God manifested in the flesh. In Christ, the law was fulfilled. In Christ, we keep the commandments perfectly. And so we are accepted by God, holy and set apart in Christ. This is a work of God, not of our own works. What is impossible for man is possible for God. It is a great relief to know we can't work for our salvation, but that we have a Savior who finished the work, and the Holy Spirit does the work of grace in us, developing the fruit of the Spirit he has placed in us: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, to conform us to the image of Christ. So long as we live in this world, there is a daily battle with the flesh and the Spirit. God commands us to be holy, which he makes possible through the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, that we may walk in obedience. God gets all the glory. He declares, I am the Lord, this is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Isaiah 42:8. Before grace, we all live in a works-based false salvation. Maybe it's good deeds, karma, self-enlightenment, being a moral or good person, and earning love that way, or blatant Pharisaic religion. The only cure to any false doctrine or works religion is the gospel, Christ, God's grace. God, who is love, the Savior who restores our separation with God, he shows us how wretched our heart is, not to condemn us, but to reveal his grace, his sovereign grace. He pours out his mercy on us and cleanses our souls. God has promised salvation to those who rest in him, a full resting in Christ, the gospel. The all-sufficient Savior, through the preciousness of his blood, to save every soul who believes on him. All true believers will walk in obedience out of love, knowing the sacrificial love and mercy that has been poured out on us when we were yet sinners. I will never love and obey him perfectly, but Jesus did, and I rest in his perfect holiness, obedience, and love. I obey out of love, not from religious obligation or self-righteousness. Submission is a dirty word in our culture, but it's precious in God's eyes. And when we trust God, we joyfully submit and obey him and his word. We labor in love, and we love each other with all the love God has given us. Jesus sets us free to love unselfishly because he first loved us. We love him and we love each other. God manifested his love to us by giving us his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are reading this or listening and you do not yet have Christ, or maybe you thought you knew Christ, but you do not have the one true living God, it is my deep desire that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that the hearing of the gospel in my testimony comes with power and is made effectual in your heart. Come to Christ. The time is now, not tomorrow.